Ready?
Rosie?
Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It's April 23rd at 7 p.m. Please stand as we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
We Gold.
Here.
Romine.
Here.
Enrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
Warwick absent.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was April 9th. Were there any changes or corrections that needed to take place? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
Make a motion we approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay, next up is the swearing in of our police reserves, and we have, I think we have three to swear in tonight. So, Tim.
I'm Tim Ottenbaum, Chief of Police. I'll have Captain Hyland come up here with me. We're pleased tonight to swear in three new reserves for our department. We have a total of five now, so we're excited to have these guys on. These three gentlemen were involved in our application process when we hired our full-time officers a couple months ago. And all three of them were in the final six cut. So we're real excited to have these guys with us. I think they're going to do a great job. I know they're real excited to get started, too. So I'll have them all come up here. This is the Clerk Treasurer, Rosie Coyle. She'll do the swearing in. And then afterwards, if family wants to get pictures and things like that, we'll go out in the hallway and get that done as soon as we're done here. So Anthony Comfort, Keith Fearnow, and Jeremy Bryce.
I, Jeremy Bryce,
swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge my duties.
Discharge my duties.
As a police reserve.
As a police reserve.
Of the City of Columbia City.
The City of Columbia City.
Or according to the law.
According to the law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you, family and friends, for attending. If you would like to exit now, I would not subject you to the rest of this meeting, so I'm going to do that. Thank you. No, department heads, you must stay.
Quickest meeting ever.
Okay. Next up is ordinance number 2013-14. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present, please read 2013-14 by title only.
Ordinance 2013-13, An ordinance amending chapter...
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Well, I said 14 because that was the first one on my list, but...
Oh.
Can we read 14 since I had the motion for that? I'm sorry. I'm going to do it out of order. Apologize.
Ordinance 2013-14. An ordinance amending Chapter 50, Electric Service of Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, relating to the removal of the city's electric utility from the jurisdiction of the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission.
Obviously, it's something we've talked about for the past couple of weeks now. I think third time I think we've talked about it. Last time you had granted a two-week extension. Basically, you tabled it for 2 weeks. Kind of get your feedback, if you've had any feedback or any discussion.
I personally have not had one call on this issue. I did, as far as phone calls, I had one or two mentioned to me at church.
Okay.
Other than that, I have not had any other inquiries about this.
Okay.
I've not heard from anybody since last meeting either.
Okay.
I didn't hear.
No.
Yeah.
I did have one email. We kind of corresponded back and forth.
What was the gist of that?
Just asking questions. It was mainly related to the water rate increase from last year. That's kind of where it was. Wasn't as much, I guess, focused on the withdrawal. It was more focused on the water utility increase that we did last year, and it had basically to do with, you know, how that process worked and the need for it and things to that effect. So. Okay. I will give the public an opportunity to speak. If there's anything else you'd like to add, thanks.
Do you want to file this under the water regulatory?
Well, this is electric, but we'll do them back to back. So it's up to you. However you'd like. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
My name is Dick Goodwin, 1629 East Bear Road, in Columbia City. I appreciate you saying this about the email communications you have, because I've been getting them too.
Good.
So I know that you've been corresponding
yeah.
back. I've got a 3-page letter to read from the lady that sent it to me, but I'm not going to do that since you already obviously know what's going on. But the disadvantages of opting out of the IURC is the only thing I want to go through, and she asked me to read this, and that's the reason why I'm doing it. The OUCC and IURC have experienced experts, including accountants, economists, and engineers, that sometimes propose less expensive or better alternatives than the result in lower rates or better service. A utility loses access to the recommendations if it withdraws from this commission jurisdiction. Customers challenging legality of an action by the utility or its governing board must take action in a local court and bear the burden of proof to show a violation of the law. This is likely to include the need to hire a private attorney. As the cost of regulation is sometimes exaggerated, a utility may not realize promised savings as a result of withdrawing. Proper utility rates and operation will still require much of the same work and cost otherwise involved with IURC proceedings. Customers of a withdrawn investor-owned for-profit utility who do not own the utility stock have no direct control over the company's management. The OUCC can provide a voice for the interests of the customers of an IURC-regulated utility when it presents its case to the IURC. In addition, customers who have no control over the utility's management have an opportunity to address concerns with the IURC, which has been established as an impartial body. Customers of a municipal utility who live outside the city of town limits are unable to register support or opposition for the utility's municipal elections. I think a lot of these things you've addressed, and believe me, I appreciate it. I'm not a water utility user, but I am a member of the community. There's some valid discussion here. as we talked at the last meeting, where there was a proposal made that the commissioners would look at a cap in the event that you wanted to raise utilities of 5 to 7% or somewhere in that neighborhood, I think would keep the citizenry knowing that you're looking out for their best interest. But I personally don't have a complaint with what you're doing. I really think you guys are doing a good job, and I appreciate being here and listening to you and your concerns. But you know, the economy right now is horrible. Everybody's just getting butchered, as long as the city's getting butchered too. None of us are immune to this thing. So you know, I would appeal to you to really look into that avenue, as what was mentioned last time, the little old lady that's on Social Security that's only getting 1%, and you're looking at raising it 3%. That's devastating to her. I don't sit here and claim to have a cure for this thing. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes right now.
But I think it's important to note that we're not looking at any increase in water or electricity at this time.
Well, I understand that, and believe me, I've personally taken that into consideration myself. But in the event you do look for it, and there was an ordinance that says cap, and I'm not looking at this particular board. The people I've met on this board right here are honest, upstanding people. But 20 years from now, maybe it won't be.
Well, we hope it would be.
Well, we all do.
Yeah, but also, I think we discussed last time that this, what we're talking about with the IURC, is totally separate from what we would talk
exactly.
about with the...
I just brought that up so that you didn't forget it.
Mm-hmm. We didn't.
We didn't.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further comments?
Had you had a chance to review that, Marcia, or did you need...
To review what?
The caps issue. I think the minutes had indicated that you would look into it if we had indicated we would like you to.
Yeah, but then the discussion went to the fact that we already had
an advisory board,
so that was dropped from the end.
Yeah, which was something I was actually going to bring up, is that, you know, like I'd mentioned last time, and I think you all got the email of the actual ordinance itself in regards to the advisory board, and I have no problem with restarting that and having an advisory board of sorts per our ordinance. I would just ask assistance in figuring out the right people for that board. Okay.
I on that line, I think it's important that at least one person on that board represent the people who live outside the city limits that are our utility customers.
I'm reviewing it just to make sure that that would be viable.
I think the only thing that it stipulated is that you couldn't have more than three from the same political party.
Okay. And you're probably right. Every board and commission that the city has different, you know, some can live within the 2-mile jurisdictional, some have to be inside the actual city limits, some have to be Republican, Democrat. So I appreciate that very much, and I don't have a problem at all with establishing one of those individuals to be kind of the outside.
But it helps to answer the concern that they don't have the power of the vote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also think it's important to note again that we're talking about water
and electric. That's correct.
Everything else is out. At the
it's
city.
Not a regulated
it's
utility.
It's not a regulated
yep.
utility.
I agree. That's a very good point. Okay. Then I have a motion to approve.
Make a motion we approve ordinance 2013-14.
I second it.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Next up, can I have a motion to read ordinance 2013-13 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read 2013-13 by title only.
Ordinance number 2013-13, an ordinance amending Chapter 52, Water Service, of Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, relating to the removal of the city's water utility from the jurisdiction of the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission.
Okay. Any other comments or questions on that? That obviously is partnered with the electric. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
I move that we approve ordinance 2013-13.
Second. Okay. Motion by Bill, seconded by Nicole. Ladies first, electric courses.
Yes.
Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Next up is department head reports. Mark, we'll start with you, sir.
Okay. Phone's about ready to die, which has all my notes on it. So, basically, everybody knows we were flooded. Anytime you get 50 inches of rain in a day, you need to build an ark. And just a lot of people have helped us out with the whole situation. There's a lot of people to thank. Matt and Jim, our employees down there, and Austin Paul helped work Saturday cleaning the concession stand, and did a great job getting that ready for us to use it on Monday. So, and just thank them for all the work they've done. The street department helped us out today by cleaning out under a bridge and scraping off debris, things like that. So just had a lot of community corrections. The Thor's guys have been down the last 2 days helping with the pavilion, and they've raked up all the corn stalks that come in off the river. It's kind of, once the water's gone, you're just left with, seems like, corn stalks everywhere and dust and mud. But they took care of that today. It's coming around. It's looking good. Just appreciate everybody helping out. Our programming will continue to go on as normal, as long as, tonight's softball game is canceled. But we could have had the game and been fine tonight. The pavilion, still under construction, still working on that. There'll be concrete potentially poured tomorrow around the pavilion, and Kelly's guys have been working on a broken water line that needs concrete. They need to get tomorrow. So there's a lot going on. Opening day is Saturday for baseball and softball, so it'll be a big event. Parade for the kids starting at 3:30. So any rumors of us having to put it somewhere else because of flooding is not true. We're going to be totally fine this Saturday. I'm having it at Morse's Park. We also, some of the other jobs we've got to do, the mulch, Kelly's street department's had it ground up in the back, so it's free for people to go get. We also will be delivering that when we get a chance to some of our own gardens in the parks, and then potentially community corrections and ourselves spreading that mulch. Started mowing today, so we've got to kind of get going on that that time of year. And then tomorrow, as far as the pool goes, tomorrow at 2:30, I have a conference call with Martin Riley and Councilman Hunsaker to kind of start talking about dates and our checklist of things that we're going to start with the whole aquatics part of things. So that's it.
Questions on Mark?
Mark, what were we burning down at the park?
It was corn stalks. And we had called Tom earlier today to see if we could do that. And we got his permission first.
There was a lot of it right up against the fence, I know, when I stopped by on Saturday. And
yeah.
But I'll tell you what, they cleaned that concession stand pretty darn well very quickly on Saturday morning. Yeah. And so, guys did a good job.
Thank you.
Did you say when the aquatics task force is meeting?
I don't know yet, but I'll know probably after tomorrow. Yeah.
As a side note, the wood chips behind the MSF, is there still a good pile of those?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are still available to our residents. I know the youth council is going to want some for the welcome sign, just so you know. But we got a month to worry about that. So, okay, good. Thank you, Mark. Kelly.
As Mark had mentioned, we tried to scrape some of that up under the bridge and clean some of that up. Maybe Thursday or Friday, we'll probably get the sweeper down there and try to do final cleanup down there if we can to help them out a little bit. And the leaves finally did get ground after been waiting for a month for this machine to come in, and so I don't think that we're going to put a loadout date on it.
Okay.
There's doesn't seem like there's that many there since people were getting them before they were actually ground up, so I don't think they're going to last long anyway.
Okay.
So we probably won't put a...
Because they usually, the pile goes pretty fast, if I remember
correctly. Some of the concrete castings that we changed out in the sidewalks, we poured those today, and Mark had mentioned there's another spot down at the park that the guys formed, and they're going to try to get that poured. Friday we had put up a couple barricades on, we had road in Columbia Shores and out at Westgate, we had to barricade off for a while, and had a jet machine up at Main Street Lift Station today with Mike Cook's guys. They had some pipes that were plugged inside the lift station that we're trying to help them with. That was most of the day, and probably be working on it some tomorrow too. And we jetted, root cut about a 400 foot stretch of 10 inch sewer on Ellsworth Street down in that southwest area. That's all I have this time.
Okay. Questions of Kelly? Okay. Thank you, Kelly. Mike?
We got about another 200 feet of 10-inch main in on Frontage Road between the showers. We're just short of halfway on that stretch down through there getting it in. Todd was in Columbus last week for a couple days for Indiana Rural Water Conference. We turned a new service on, Stone Ridge and Deer Chase. Done 37 locates and had about 38 check reads from meter reading last week. And then on Saturday, our main computer that sends everything to our monitor for alarms and all the tower levels and everything burn up, and hoping to get a price back this week to replace that. So,
any reasoning behind it, lightning or anything?
Old age.
Just old age? Okay.
Yeah, it's the one we talked about earlier getting. I actually have been waiting on prices for a new one, and they hadn't got here in time, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Question to Mike. Thank you, Mike. Larry.
Put in a new service today at Heritage, kind of mudded it in, but we got it in. Had a big outage at South Woodley Saturday. Had to have three guys down there for 4 hours to rectify that problem.
Is there a reasoning for that, Larry? Do you know?
Yeah, transformer burn up.
Okay, that's probably a good reason.
And of course we're still cutting trees. We had a special one that the tree board called us up to do right away, and of course then we went ahead and ground the stump while we were at it. Went out and tested our capacitors, made sure they were all functioning, because they are the secret of our charges that IMPA gets us, is because of our power factors. When one of those goes out, then our rate goes up. Had our monthly safety meeting last Wednesday. Then today we had another service call at South Whitley. And of course we've been changing the bells and insulators on the poles in town right along. And we got the conduit board in at North Columbia Parkway for that piece that has gone, that went bad last year or the year before. So we got that about rounded up. And of course our regular reconnects, disconnects, and service calls.
Okay.
That's it.
Questions of Larry. Thank you, Larry. Terry.
I installed a new computer out at the park department, and I have another one ready to go to the water pollution control facility. Preferred IT installed a new data backup for us. We replaced one that was a 500 gig one with a terabyte, so we have more storage space. In Digital was in dispatch today installing some of the new 911 equipment, and we're looking possibly going live with that the 29th or 30th of May. Or April.
Sorry. Oh, okay. So that's a lot sooner.
Yeah. So that's kind of gotten everything, a lot of equipment jammed in dispatch right now because we have the old stuff and the new stuff, so we don't have a lot of room in there, so it's kind of tight.
Does it do anything different for us?
Excuse me?
Does the new 911 system do anything different than the old 911 system?
Yeah, it's going to have a lot of new features into it and a lot of abilities to contact other departments and transfer calls and a lot to do with the cellular stuff too, so this should be a great enhancement. That's all I have.
Okay. Questions of Terry besides that? Thank you, Terry. Jeff?
Last year, the city and the county, along with GAI consultants, had a meeting out of Quessy with the community to discuss the opportunities of extending sewer and water services out there. So you know where we're at on that whole process. It wasn't just dropped, but it's something that the county would have to take the lead with, obviously with our utilities. And last week, the mayor and I met with county representatives as well as Lori Shipman to explore some funding potential opportunities, looking at OCRA, also USDA, and came away from that with no answers, but a lot of hope. And so we're going to continue to explore that. But it's not something that's going to happen immediately, but we are trying to, based off of the income census level out there, we know obviously that, you know, those property owners will not be able to afford exorbitant amounts to connect, so we're trying to make it work for everybody concerned. So that's ongoing with us. Last Thursday evening, we had the 205 public hearing at the YMCA for the public input portion of that 205 project, and it was probably the shortest public hearing I've ever attended. There was the presentation and by American Structure Point and no public comment whatsoever. There was some questions following that, but were not part of the record. So that will be taken back, transcripts made of the proceeding, sent to all the applicable agencies, and within the next 30 days, we should be able to start with, in earnest, the reacquisition of property for the right-of-way and the project itself. So finally moving forward on that. Also had a meeting with NDOT regarding trail extension west of Main Street last week, and that was enlightening, and we'll keep you posted on that as we move further into that. Obviously, one of the mayor's goals is to, well, and Mark's as well, but to extend the trail to pick up DeBole Field, and we'll be doing it in phases, but the first phase obviously involves crossing Main Street, having pedestrians safely cross, and also getting the correct permits in doing so. Today, Sean, Licky, Ron, Goldmeyer, and myself participated in the automated energy training session, and later this week there'll be automated energy will be training representatives from CNR Plating, and it's a really interesting software. I mean, the more you get into it, the information that's available is just incredible. The welcome sign was mentioned earlier, and it's my understanding that the sign company will be in town this week.
Okay.
To do the install. I know that Sean's been, like Larry said, mudding stuff in. Mm-hmm. There was a need to relocate some of the dirt mound down there, and I know that he borrowed a backhoe and got that taken care of. So yeah. It's not pretty right now, but it'll work.
I was going to say, Thursday, our youth council is planning on being down there for an hour or so to kind of pretty it up a little bit. And I actually, just to follow up with that, I actually did meet with some of our master gardeners this morning, talk about, you know, the stuff we're going to put around the sign, basically the plant life and stuff to kind of beautify it. So the
finished product, obviously, well,
yeah,
it's not representative of
right.
It will be.
Right.
And then I've been working with not only Mark, but Ken DeVito on trying to wrap up the other end of the trail extension. Obviously, as long as it keeps raining, it's going to be really difficult to fix the eroded areas. There's a bunch of people using the trail now. The sign was stolen, so the trail is closed. It is safe, okay, but I mean it's not finished, and so we want to not necessarily encourage a lot of traffic on it at this point. There's a lot of mud on it as well from the low area that was flooded. So a lot of cleanup on that side that needs to be done yet. The contract, substantial completion for that project is May 31st. And final completion, I believe, June 15th. The biggest discussions recently have been centered on the park side, though, and trying to coordinate a little bit of trail asphalt surface, the seating, along with the bathroom installation and the sewer connection. So trying to coordinate all that stuff to make it a good finished product.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Questions of Jeff?
Along with the trail, I know I brought it up probably a few years back about creating a, instead of putting signs out there, we have a number of people using this trail in an emergency situation. I wondered about, you know, color coding just a small paint stripe and sectioning it off with a small, like a blue line for a certain area and a red line for blue and different colors. They have 2 or 3 inch wide stripes, so that way if somebody goes down, they can say they're on a blue section or a red section or a yellow section, because right now if you put a sign out there, people don't know exactly where they're at. And if you're having a heart attack or need a some kind of a medical run, you know, when they call it in, they're just saying they're on the Blue River Trail. And I talked about this with 911 prior to, I know the county 911 when I talked about that, because then they get a call and they just know they're on the Blue River Trail.
Right.
Well, what segment are you on? You know, when you're having a situation, well, I'm over by, well, what? By just where they're not going to remember a sign that they walk by. What if, you know, we play painted, well, I'm on the blue section. Well, then at least the emergency personnel will know by mapping that out. Before 911, they will know where that's at. Instead of spending money, that'd be a pretty cheap way of recognizing that. Just brought that up to see what that kind of potential would be, what people thought.
It's definitely something we can talk about. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea by any means. So, yeah, we can definitely talk about it. Yeah.
It seems reasonable to try to have some way of being able to tell where somebody's at on the trail.
Absolutely.
Quickly.
I agree. Yeah. Sounds like probably, I would guess, I could be wrong here, but I would guess probably the two sections that we would need to do a color code, or the ones that we probably couldn't identify quickly, would be from 205 over to Whitley Street. I would say that's probably one section. And then maybe past the bridge on the north side of 30. Because I'm thinking if they're in Morsch's Park, they're going to say they're in Morsch's Park. I don't know.
Well, and like say, if you have somebody from out of town walking,
that's true.
It's no different than where you have out of town people coming through the county. I know I got a call and said, I'm by a red barn. Narrow that down.
Okay.
You know, from out of the county, that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Kind of, yeah. Honestly, that happened. And so, you know, when you try to identify a certain area that somebody isn't familiar with, this area.
Okay. Bill, did you have something to say?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. You got this stance like you wanted to say something.
No.
Okay. No, I think that's a good idea, Dan and Mark. You and I probably need to get together and talk about that and how that would work. And
I would think about doing that in like half mile sections, so that you can also kind of tell everybody how far you've run. I mean, you counted how many sections.
Yeah, I see.
You know,
that makes sense. Okay, Terry.
I'd like to be included in that discussion because my people are the ones going to have to understand where they're at and how we're going to do that, because in the wintertime you're not going to be able to tell.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's just a thought. I mean.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of variables that we're going to need to know to respond to this situation.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure you can be a part of that. Okay. Very good. Anything else for Jeff? Okay. Tim.
As I mentioned earlier, the three new reserves have gone through the 40-hour pre-basic course. They will now begin their field training with FTO officers and other full-time officers as well. That'll be a lengthy process for them to get through all that, but they will get started here shortly. Officer Stoppel spent last week on third shift with Officer Pittenger. Then this week he's back on second shift again with Sergeant Inslee. This past week, the command staff attended a training in Fort Wayne dealing with managing use of force incidents. We all went to that last week. It was a good training. This week, we have mandatory domestic violence training and CPR training. Next week, Monday and Tuesday, the captain and I will be in Evansville attending a training dealing with preparation and response to school and workplace violence. We're looking forward to that. Gina continues to work on our website. Hopefully we can get the upgraded website going here before too long. And as what I mentioned, the officers are being proactive and really doing a good job. Things have been pretty slow for us in our game. That's good.
Great. Questions of Tim?
Congratulations on your award you won the other night.
No, thank you.
Thanks. Servant Leadership Award. Okay. Thank you, Tim. Walt, would you like to say anything?
Nope.
Okay. Want to introduce Gabby Anglin. She is one of our youth council members. And Gabby, you want to just kind of give a brief overview of some of the stuff that we did at the last meeting and kind of go from there? Oh, introduce yourself.
Okay, so as the mayor already said, my name is Gabby Anglin, and I'm a sophomore at Columbia City High School. I'm part of the Columbia City Youth Council. We met last week on Thursday, and we visited the wastewater treatment facility, and that was the last stop for this year and all the facilities that we were going to visit. We've been talking about some sign preparation for our welcome sign. We kind of talked about some overcap of the year and what we might want to do for next year, and just those kind of things.
Did you mention that we stopped at the water treatment plant too?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't want to leave Mike out. Yeah. Youth Council is getting ready to wrap up. In May will be our last meeting, and we actually, I think we'll have one youth council member at that last meeting in May. It's kind of the end of the year type of thing. They're going to be working pretty heavily on the sign and beautification of the sign and things to that effect. So good stuff. Got a lot of good comments from them at the end of our meeting as to things we can do better next year, and can kind of go from there. So. Okay. Questions? Okay. Thank you. Marcia.
Nothing.
Rosie. I don't think I have anything right now. I know. Don't be surprised. Dan? Ben?
Just a reminder, the ordinance committee meeting this Friday is canceled.
Oh, okay.
We'll meet again on the 7th of May. That give you enough time, Marcia?
I hope so.
If not, let me know.
Okay.
We can work on another one.
Okay. Okay. Anything else from the public? Okay. We'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.